So we're learning this week about the inyan of being mafsik in between tefillah or Megillas Esther or Kriyat Shema or Hallel, and there seems to be a steer between the different sugyas of how we paskin when a person is mafsik between any of these of an amount of time shah kedei ligmar skula. The person waits, he pauses in the middle of davening, and he waits long enough that it takes him to finish the entire davening, so does he have to go back to the beginning, or he could pick up where he left off? So just an example that I was sharing with some of you that I experienced, a number of years ago, I was at someone's ufruf, and they had a separate minyan, they davened very, very late, and it was approaching Sof Sman Kriyashma, and it was a very nice Baal Tefillah, and it was dragging it out. So we're missing Sof Sman Kriyashma, so I jumped ahead in order to finish Shema in time, and I waited there for a long period of time while they were catching up. So I was just kind of sitting there waiting. I took out a Gemara, like I always do in filling my time learning. There's another guy there who also noticed the time. He was sitting there just staring into space. So afterwards, we were discussing about what we did. So he thought he wanted to learn, but he thought if you're waiting in Shema, it would be inappropriate to learn during Shema waiting. So he thought just kind of wait for them to get to Shema. So he sat there for 15 minutes doing nothing. I learned. Now, whether or not that was right or not, I think I was correct, but we're not discussing that point right now. We're just discussing about waiting for a period of time that longer than it would have taken you to finish Shema. Does that now serve as a hefsek during your davening, during your tefillah, Shema, or Megillah, and you have to really press the reset button, start all over again, or no, you could go back to where you were? So the Gemara Megillah says we paskin, it's a whole sugya, I'm not going to read through it, but the Gemara Megillah paskins that you could continue where you left off during Megillas Esther at least. You're laying in Megillas Esther, and let's say you're laying on your own, or even in a tzibur. Actually, I had this once with the Megillas Esther. This happened to the tzibur. I was in Queens, and we were davening Or HaChaim. It was right after Tainus Esther, of course. So they started laying in Megillah. Maybe two, three psukim in the middle. The place was packed. A guy just passed out, an older man passed out. He was fasting, didn't break his fast. So everyone stopped. No one wanted to talk. You know, you can't talk during Megillas Esther, the bracha. So there was a lot of silence, and a couple of Hatzal guys took care of him, and there was a bit of a break. But we didn't wait. It wasn't 30 minutes that it was Kedei Ligmor Eskola. It wasn't 30 minutes that it would have taken to finish the whole Megillah. But let's say there's some interruption that was 30 minutes long. So now do you have to press the reset button and start all over again or not? And so the Gemara paskins in Megillah that you don't have to start all over again. You could continue where you left off. But then you turn to the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, Chaf Beis Amud Beis to Chaf Gimel. The Gemara there is talking about a situation where someone's davening. And while he's davening, he feels the urge to go to the bathroom, and he ends up going to the bathroom while davening. Okay, very strange case, but the Gemara just oftentimes picks extreme cases for two reasons, at least to my understanding. One reason is because if it's an extreme case, it's going to help you remember it much better, just part of memory. If you have a very boring story, no one's going to remember it. If it's a bit exciting and there's some guy urinating in the middle of davening, you know, that's not very exciting, but it's still certainly going to leave an impression in your mind. So that's one reason it helps you remember better. And number two is when you look at extreme cases, it helps you pull out certain principles to apply to less extreme cases. So the Gemara has this scenario where a guy is urinating while davening with Shmoneh Esrei, and then so he stops. And now, after everything, he stops going to the bathroom. Now, a lot of time has passed until he's cleaned himself up. So now the question is, does he have to press the reset button and start all over again? Or now he could just pick up wherever he was beforehand? And the Gemara there in Brachos concludes that if he waited im shaha, kidei ligmor kula, if he waited, let's say it takes 8 minutes to daven Shmoneh Esrei. So let's say he waited 8 minutes before he finished, so then he has to press the reset button. So how come the Gemara in Bracha says, you're chozer l'rosh, when you wait for so long, you have to start all over again, but the Gemara in Megillah says you don't have to start all over again, you could continue where you were beforehand? That's the question all the Rishonim ask. So there are a number of different answers given. I only brought two of them for this sugya. One answer is that there's just a machlokas in the sugyas. One Gemara says this way, and the other Gemara says another way, and there's just a machlokas had a paskin. But the most Yishom say there's actually a difference between the two Gemaras. They're not really a contradiction. They're talking about two different cases. So how do we explain the Gemara in Brachos that says Choz L'Rosh, and the Gemara in Megillah that says, no, you could continue to the Makum Shepasa, go back to the place where you had stopped? The Tosas offers the first suggestion. This is the Tosas in Brachos, number two. He quotes the Sar Mikutzi. The Sar Mikutzi, if you look at Tosas number two, we'll just look at the answer. he makes the following distinction. He says, Omer Asar Mikutzi, this is again number two, the second paragraph. D'yesh l'chalik, there's room to distinguish d'shayni hacha, d'ein roi likros. This case is different when it comes to the Gemara in Brachos, because you're not able to daven. If I'm, let's say, saying Tfila or Shema, I'm allowed to daven, let's say I just pause. And I just decide to daven. I just decide to wait. I'm able to daven, I just chose not to. But the case in Brachos where the guy had went to the bathroom, he's not allowed to daven. It's aser from to daven. He was forced to stop. It was against his will. So they said to him, stop in the middle. And it's similar to the case where a person's walking through alleyways that are mevuos hatunafos, dirty alleyways where you're not allowed to daven or learn or say shema when it's so dirty outside. So those are situations where you're not allowed to daven. That's a forced interruption. So there, chuliyama modu duchos the rosh. That everyone agrees, you have to press the reset button. When you're interrupted, when means you're not allowed to daven because there's an isser in the way, then you press the reset button. Aval hecha de gavra chazi. When the individual is able to, he's chazi, he's roi to daven. Kimo Megillah, the Gemara Megillah, or shofar case, chuliyama modu. Everyone agrees de eino chos the rosh ela makom shepasa. So what's the difference? It depends. Why are you stopping? If you're stopping just because you wanted to take a break, you wanted to, you know, relax your voice a little bit, you wanted to think a little bit, so all those cases, you're allowed to just continue where you are. You just took a very casual interruption. But if the interruption is one that the halacha is, you're not allowed to daven because there's meiraglayim, or because you're walking through a dirty alleyway, so if you're forced to stop by halacha, that's where we press the reset button. And that's the understanding of the Sar Mikutzi, yeah.
Is it considered a stop if you're talking to Hashem, just not in, you're not saying the words of Shmoneh Esrei.
If it's, is it considered?
You know, I'm saying your own words.
So that's not, that's part of Tfilah. That's Tzarchei Tfilah. Because the Gemara says in a couple of places that you're allowed to ask your own personal Tfilahs, right. And that's part of it. No question about it. The Gemara has two opinions. It's a little bit confusing how we paskin. Is it better to ask during Shema Tfilah or at the end after Yehi Ratzon? That's 2 days in Tosos, rather 2 days in the Gemara. Exactly unclear where the best place is. Yesh Omrim, either way. But yeah, that's part of tefillah. That's part of tefillah. We're talking about a situation where a guy just stops davening. He's just thinking. He's just waiting. He's thinking about who knows what. So that's the first distinction about why you stopped. If it was a forced stop, then you press the reset button. If it was more of a casual, your own decision, then you continue where you were. And this is very important. We're going to come back to this. This is actually how the Ramah paskins in the end of the day. But that's the shita of the Sar Mikutzi. But then there's a whole other understanding, which is seems to be the position of many other Rishonim, that really is a distinction between Shmoneh Esrei and every type of other mitzvah. So what's the difference? So you see in the Rif number 3, the Rif answers, if you look at the bottom here, Kishu chozer chozer l'makom shepasak, when you go back to wherever you were beforehand. Even though shesha kadei ligmor skula, even though you waited the period of time it takes to finish the whole mitzvah. So the same thing goes, if let's say a person's blowing shofar, he blows the shofar now, tkiah, he waits an hour, blows another set of tkiahs, waits another hour, and obviously an hour is more time it takes, that's shaha, kedei ligmor skula, still, you're allowed to make as long as and many interruptions as you want. You're always allowed to make interruptions and continue where you were. There's no problem. The only area of Torah, the only area of mitzvahs where you're not allowed to make interruptions, tefillah. Tefillah b'lechud, tefillah is the only one, says the Rif, that im shah kedei ligmor skula, chozer l'rosh. Tefillah is the only mitzvah if you interrupt. Whatever the interruption is, even if it's a voluntary interruption, even if you decide on your own to take a pause, if you pause for, I'm going to just say 8 minutes for Shmoneh Esrei, for no reason, that means reset button. It's unique to tefillah and nothing else. So while the Sar Mikutzi says the distinction was, why are you stopping? Is it was because the Torah says you can't daven now, or you decide to stop? The Rif's understanding is not why are you stopping, it's what are you stopping from doing? What's the mitzvah at hand? So tefillah is in one corner, where any interruption, the interruption is going to reset the tefillah, as opposed to all other mitzvahs, Shema, Halal, Megillah, where you could take as long as of a break as you want, and it's not going to make you start all over again. So what's the Rif base? Where is this? Sounds like a very sensible distinction, but what's the basis for the Rif's distinction between tefillah and all other mitzvahs? So that's what the Melchemes Hashem, the Ramban, and the Ravid talk about. So the Ramban writes, that what's unique about tefillah? Because he says there's a special halacha when it comes to tefillah. Tefillah with respect to making any interruptions, we know if a king asks you, he greets you. A king, the president, walks over to you and offers you know, shake your hand. So if you're davening Shema, you're in the Megillah of Hallel, in the middle of Megillah, you extend your hand, you stand up for him, you show him kavod, you could interrupt whatever you're doing. But when it comes to davening Shemoneh Esrei, and if a king comes to you and it says, Shalom Aleichem, so then you are not allowed to interrupt Shemoneh Esrei because you're talking to the Melech Malchei Amlochim. So we see, just like tefillah, with respect to making interruptions to greet the king, there it's different than all other mitzvahs. So too, with respect to the shah kedei ligmor kulo, if a person pauses for a long period of time, that also is not allowed, it's not tolerated for tefillah, and would require you to start all over again. And because there's this, the Ramban says, there's this ema yaseira, there's this overwhelming fear that a person is supposed to have while davening, and therefore you can't greet the king, so to any type of pauses in tefillah, if it's long enough, it's going to make you start all over again. And that's different than all other mitzvahs that you are allowed to interrupt during Shema and Halal and Megillah to greet the king. So too, if you are Shaha, Kedei Ligmar Shkula, it won't make you start, it won't make you Chozer Lerosh. That's the distinction. Okay, so that is that opinion shared by the Ravid as well. So again, let's review. The Ramban says, the Rif, the Ramban, Ravid all say, it's a difference between tefillah and all other mitzvahs. Again, tefillah, since tefillah is so chamor, since it's a special davening to Hashem, and we don't tolerate any breaks, so therefore, imsha kadele gemoras kulo, it makes you start Shemoneh Esrei all over again, as opposed to all other mitzvahs. As opposed to the Sarmikutzi, it says it doesn't make a difference which mitzvah you're saying, which mitzvah you're doing, rather it depends on why did you interrupt. If you interrupted because the person was going to the bathroom and you can't daven, so that ends it. You have to start all over again, whether it's tefillah, Shemoneh Esrei, Megillah. But if it's an interruption that you voluntarily took upon yourself, then everything, you don't have to start all over again, even tefillah. So those are two basic understandings of how to reconcile these two sugyas.
How do you explain the shofar waiting, the teisha kolos, the teisha shos?
For who, which one? Sarmikutzi or?
Sarmikutzi. To him, you should be allowed to because it's shofar, it's not tefillah.
Right, I think we paskin, you are allowed to. I thought the Gemara says, Im sha, teisha, tekios, b'teisha, shalos, your yotza. So you paskin to be allowed to, yeah. It is a machlokas in the Gemara, but I think we paskin, you're allowed to.
So it's more your state of mind than it is the fact that it's tefillah? You know, it sounds like, you know, if it's voluntary, meaning that you purposely took a break, then it's not because of the importance of the continuation of the tefillah that's being considered, but it's your state of mind. So, if that's the case, what happens if a person doesn't have the proper kavana? Does that mean, and they realize that they don't have the proper kavana, that's also a state of mind? Does that mean that they have to go back and say it again also?
No, it's only when there's an isser. I mean, if I decided to think about the Yankees in the middle of my davening, so yeah, I'm not thinking about davening, but I always have the option, if I wanted, to come back in. I'm not closed out from that, coming back into the Shemoneh Esrei. But when the Torah says I'm not allowed to daven here, they cut me off. I have no way of fighting back in. That kind of sent me off to the side, and that makes me reset the Shemoneh Esrei or Shema or whatever I'm doing. So my understanding is, do you have the ability to jump back in? It's not your current state of mind. It's more about...
I mean, maybe it's a Hasidisha thing, but we always say that you are where your mind is. So if you go on hiatus, if you will, and you happen to be someplace else, is that for a considerable amount of time, whatever the case might be. You know, because you're waiting for somebody to catch up, or the example you gave before.
Right, so it sounds like from this, at least the Sarmikutzi, that it would not make a difference. As long as I can come back if I want to, that doesn't cut me off. It's only if it's I'm prohibited from halacha from doing so. So then, now an interesting question would be, I didn't see this discussed, but now I'm thinking about this out loud. So what about a person, let's say, can't physically, let's say a person loses the ability to speak. Let's say he becomes elam, he loses his sound, his voice.
You're not able to physically speak, then even saying it with your eyes is good enough.
Did we say that?
I think
Yeah.
We said that in the Gemara.
I'm not sure. But let's say a guy cannot speak, or let's say he becomes a shota for a few minutes. So that's not an iser prohibiting from saying, but that's a physical thing that he's not able to daven properly. Is that going to also prohibit him? Would that make him start all over again or not? I don't know. And it reminds me of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that talks about a person who's a pikeach and the shota. He goes back and forth wavering from having the ability to think of being a pikeach, and then he goes to a moment of time where he's a shota. And the Gemara says, well, it depends when he performed the mitzvah, what state of mind was he when he ate the matzah? If he was the state of mind of a pikeach, so he's fulfilling the mitzvah. But if he was eating the matzah when he was a shota, then he doesn't get the mitzvah and have to eat all over again. But we're talking about, let's say, while performing the actual mitzvah, and he experiences one of these feelings of being a shota, or he loses the ability to speak, he becomes an elam, and it takes 30 minutes before he gets that back, would that be a reset button? I don't know. All we know from the Sar Mikutzi is if the Torah says the halacha is you're not allowed to daven, that's interruption which requires starting all over again. If it's again a decision that you made to pause, that would not make you start all over again.
What happened by Rosh Hashanah where you're waiting for the person in the Sosfar, the Chazan, the Baltikeya to blow,
mm-hmm.
So that's telling you that you have to stop.
Right.
And then
so two things there. So one is the only question, first of all, is only if you wait a long amount of time that it takes you to finish the whole davening. So let's say you're a fast davener and you're davening yeshiva someplace where they're davening for 2 hours. And you had no idea, and you got to the first spot, you're like, wait a second, this is crazier. And you're waiting an hour till they get there, and that's for you. So that would be, firstly, whether the question's even a question. So let's say you did wait. Shaha kedei ligmoras kula. So we're going to see later on in the Pnei Yeshua here, if you make an interruption that's long enough, but you are focused on the davening, you're just anticipating davening coming, you're waiting for them to blow the shofar, so then that would not be considered an interruption. So your case would be relevant. That's the guy who's just waiting there, he's thinking about the Yankees then, till they get back on board, so then maybe it would be a problem in Echanami, but not the Sar Mikutzi though. You're saying halach tells you have to wait. I'm not sure if that's the same thing. If you don't wait, you still get the mitzvah. It's not like the same thing as if there's an iser to daven. The guy who went to the bathroom, he's not allowed to daven. If I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei and I'm waiting for the tzibur to get there to blow shofar, that's encouraged, that's recommended, but that's not an iser if I don't wait. So I don't know if it's the same comparison, though. Okay, so now, it's a very important halacha now, this idea of that tefillah is unique. If you take the approach of the Ramban and the Ravid and the Rif, that tefillah is unique, that tefillah is so sensitive to any interruptions that you're not allowed to interrupt for the king. So too, if you wait any pauses, you're not allowed to, it's going to make you start all over again. So there's a very important halacha here. It comes up quite often to people. Number 6, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Hayat tzarach l'nekeva, a person needs to go to the bathroom, al yispal. There's an iser to daven while you need to go to the bathroom. It's very, very important. It's sometimes hard for people to understand this. They have to rush, they want to get to the train, they want to go to work, and they want to chop in a minion. But the truth is, if a person has to go to the bathroom, so it's better for him to actually go to the bathroom and not daven with the tzibur, and daven without having to go to the bathroom afterwards, be yechidus. It's a strange thing, it's hard to tell people, but yeah, if you have to catch the whatever train time it is, and you know you're going to, this is the last minute you're going to catch, and you need to go to the bathroom, so yes, you go to the bathroom, and when you come out, you'll daven on your own. Even though you missed the minyan, it's much better to daven b'yechidus than it is to daven in a minyan having to go to the bathroom. And he says, based on the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, V'him is palil b'tfilaso to'eva. Person who davens while having to go to the bathroom, that's a to'eva. That's something that's very much frowned upon by the Tehalacha. Now, v'tzarach lachzer l'spal, he has to daven all over again. When I was in DRS, I once had a shayla, a guy had a very bad stomach ache. And he wanted to put on tefillin. It's not nice that high school boys still want to put on tefillin. But he wanted to put on tefillin. You don't get that question often. They try to usually avoid putting on tefillin, a lot of these guys. But a guy asked me a question in high school. I have to go to, my stomach is killing me. Can I put on tefillin for 5 minutes? And the loch is that you're not allowed to. If you have to go to the bathroom, you're not allowed to put tefillin on. You're not allowed to daven either when having to go to the bathroom. If a person is able to hold it in for a certain amount of time, the halacha talks about elsewhere, then if you could chop it in really quickly and put tefillin on and say Shemoneh Esrei, Shema, rather, right away, that you could do. If a guy really is in and out of the bathroom, it's an iser to daven and put tefillin on. So the Gemara says, the halacha rather says, Hani mi, this is only true, Sheino yachal lamod atmo shir hilich parsa. It's only true if you can't hold it in for that amount of time it takes for a person to walk a parsa, whatever shir that is. Aval im yachal lahamid atzmo shir parsa yatza b'di'evin. Person is able to hold it in for a certain period of time, so then b'di'evin your yotze, if you've davened such a way. Aval l'chachila lo yispal ad shivdok atzmo tchiliyafa. A person should not daven if he has to go to the bathroom, even though he can hold it in, and once you feel the urge, you shouldn't daven at all. Take off your tefillin and use the bathroom. Okay, so then the Rama adds, "V'chol ha'nitzrach l'nekeva v'aser afilu b'divrei Torah," and anyone who needs to go to the bathroom has the urge to go to the bathroom. Even is it's aser even to learn. So just like it's aser to daven, you also can't learn when having to go to the bathroom. Fine. So that's halacha. So what's the interesting thing here? So the Mishabur writes, "Afilu b'divrei Torah," number 7, "V'kol shekein b'kriyas shema v'shar brachos." This is true of anything you're saying. If you're saying Shema, you're saying brachos, whatever you're doing, if you're doing a mitzvah, if a person feels the urge to go to the bathroom, you're not allowed to do that mitzvah. But he does write, "B'di'evin mashma midivrei primogadim de'ein tzarech lachzor velikros v'chein kaza ramban b'lmuchamos." Yeah, the primogadim says that if you do any of these mitzvahs of Shema and brachos, b'di'evin, your yotze, that's what the Ramban says. What does he mean by the Ramban? What's Ramban is he talking about? He's talking about our Ramban. Ramban says that tefillah is different than any other mitzvah. We said above, a person has the urge to go to the bathroom and he really can't hold it in, and he goes and davens anyways, that tefillah he doesn't get. He's not yotze that tefillah. But the Ramban said all other mitzvahs, Shema, Megillah, Halel, Brachos, Birkas HaMazon, that if you do make an interruption, b'di'eved, you are yotze. So too the Mishnah Berurah writes, when it comes to having to go to the bathroom, the same distinction applies. While by tefillah, you don't get the tefillah, you're not yotze the tefillah if you have to go to the bathroom. By other mitzvahs, b'di'eved, if you had to go to the bathroom, and yet you said Shema anyways, you said Halel and Megillah and Brachos, b'di'eved, you are yotze by other mitzvahs. So that's a very, very important halacha that comes out from this Ramban that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Again, that's the uniqueness of Shemona Esra. Now, the Pri Chadash asks an interesting question along these lines. This is to Ezra's point. Pri Chadash is talking about this sugya, number 9. And if you look in the parentheses, it's the 3 lines down in the Pri Chadash, the last three words, it says V'kashali in the parentheses. Pri Chadash says V'kashali Meha de Arminim Beperek Tefila Sheshacher Reish Chav Tes Amin Aleph Al Inin Birchas Aminim Shehishkiv Bashmul HaKatan Shayim V'shal Shos V'lo Halu. So what happened one time is Shmuel HaKatan was davening Shemoneh Esrei. And he forgot V'lamal Shinim. He forgot how to say Birchas Aminim. Birchas Aminim was the 19th bracha that was instituted. Anyone know who wrote V'lamal Shinim? Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan is the author of this bracha. And one time he got up there to daven for the Amud, and he forgot the Nusach. They didn't have Sidurim. So he forgot the Nusach that he himself wrote. And he waited 2-3 hours. I don't know if 2-3 hours means 2-3 hours or means 2 or 3 moments. He was waiting for a period of time. And he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And the Gemara there, the context of the Gemara there, if I remember correctly, is that the person of a chazan makes an interruption during v'mal shinim, where choshish that he himself might be an apikoros. He might be a min himself. And therefore he refuses to say a bracha. So the Gemara there says we have to remove that person from davening for the Amud. So the Gemara says, how could it be then? Shmuel Katan, he once experienced this. He was davening for the Amud. He got to V'lamal Shinim, and then he paused. And everyone was waiting and waiting. And they let him finish. He finally remembered the Nusach and went back to finishing Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, how could we allow Shmuel Katan to save the continue of the bracha? Don't we say anyone who makes any pause for the V'lamal Shinim, we take, remove him from davening for the Amud? How can we allow Shmuel Katan? So the Gemara answers, well, Shmuel Katan was the author of V'lamal Shinim, and we're not choshish that the author of V'lamal Shinim is going to be the one who himself is going to be a min. So that's why it was a special exception for Shmuel HaKatan. But Pri Chadash asks a question regarding our sugya. He says, wait a second. He just waited 2 or 3 hours, which is, again, whatever that shir is, of Shtei Shlal Shos, he waited more time than it would have been to finish Shemoneh Esrei. He was Shaha Kidei Ligmor Eskula. So we just said above that a person waits the period of time that it takes to finish Shemoneh Esrei, you have to start all over again. So why didn't they make Shmuel Katan start all over again if he waited so long in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? That's his tzarchin. So what does the Pnei Yeshua answer? The Pnei Yeshua answers, anyone remember what he answers? What? Yeah, he had in mind. The Pnei Yeshua writes that he had in mind the whole time. So look at what the Pnei Yeshua writes. He's... Exactly. Shehir b'chol also zman. He was thinking that whole time. B'osa bracha atme. He's trying to think of that bracha of birchas aminim. He's trying to find it in his mind what the nusach was. V'lo hisiach daito mimena. And he wasn't. He never gave up hope on it. So this goes to your point, David, that you were thinking about, what about your personal tefillah? Is that considered an interruption? No, because that's letzarach tefillah, that's davening, you're thinking on topic. The type of interruption that we're referring to is the guy is thinking about, the Yankees, the Knicks, whatever sports teams he's thinking of. He's thinking about business. He's thinking about something not related to tefillah. That's where we say, imsha kedei ligmor es kula choz l'rosh. But if he's thinking about Shemona Esther itself, so then, says the Pnei Yeshua, you don't have to start all over again. That's the explanation of Shmuel Katan. He was thinking about the Birchas Aminim. And he says that one of the rayas is for this, it's no different than the Sugya in Brachos Daf Mem. What's the halacha there? The guy is saying a bracha, and before he takes a motzi, the Gemara has a few different examples how you can make interruptions. You could ask for the salt.
What you just said with the Gemara saying if he pauses, or Gemara doesn't make a distinction there that if the Malshim that you take them down only if you wasn't thinking about the Nusach, why wouldn't you apply that to anybody? Why just don't Shmuel HaKatan? And in fact, with Shmuel HaKatan you can make the argument that's even worse by him, because if he's the one who actually created the Bracha, then who should know the Bracha better than him?
To the first point is that there's a different concern. The reason why we take the person who forgot the bracha about Malshinim has nothing to do with interruption. It has to do with we're concerned that he himself might be a min.
I understand, but maybe Damakov's chus, maybe he's just thinking about the nusach.
Yeah, but we have to remember, I don't know exactly the historical context, but it was obviously serious enough, the concern of Apikorsis, that they had to make a special bracha, so there was no, like, Danakov's chus there. It was so rampant, I guess. We just, any type of a concern, he's done. Now, Shmuel Katan, I hear, it's a strange thing that someone who himself was the author would forget, but you have many times, it reminds me of the story, I shared this once, he was an individual who he happened to forget. He had that, he suffered from shikha. But Shmuel, we don't find anywhere that he suffered from shikha. But it reminds me of a story I once shared at one of the drushes here, that the shach was once involved in a din Torah with someone, and about whatever the monetary case was, and they took him to Bezdin. This is the shach who wrote the sefer on Yerdeya and Choshe Mishpah. And the shach said, before I'm going to go to Bezdin, I want to look into the sugya. What's the halacha? Am I wrong or right? Maybe I'm really wrong and I should return the money or whatever they were looking for. So he was ma'ayin into the sugya, and he came out that I don't owe the guy any money, I'm pater. And he wanted to look through one last time before he goes to the din Torah. So he was ma'ayin into the sugya, said, yeah, there's no question in my mind, I'm certainly right. I don't know why he's taking me to Bezdin. So fine, the guy summoned him to Bezdin, he and the other person went to the Bezdin, and the psak was that the shach was money. The shach was up in arms, it doesn't make any sense, I learned the whole sugya. He says, do you mind? He says to the Dayan, by the way, the Shach was very, very young when he wrote this. I think he was in his 20s when he wrote this. Maybe 26 comes to mind. He was extremely young when he wrote the Shach, which is amazing. So I don't know what age he was when he was taken to Bezdin. So he asked the Dayan, I hope you don't mind. Can you show me what the Psak is, why I'm wrong, why I owe money? So he says, sure, come with me. So he takes him to his farm and pulls out a sefer called the Shach. Mm-hmm. And he shows, opens up to the Siman, and he says, right here. The Shach looks inside, and he sees that, oh, he's talking right. And he forgot what he himself wrote. So the point of that really, the point of that, Josh, is really showing that you can't really see your own chovah. It's hard for a person to see how wrong they are. But you also see that a person doesn't always remember everything that he writes. So Shmuel Katan, even though he authored this, he didn't remember exactly the nusach of Birchas Aminim. So again, the Pnei Yeshua says, as long as the person's focus is on tefillah, even though he waits a long period of time, it's not considered an interruption. And he brings a raya from the sugyas of when a person washes from motzi, and then he says the bracha, and he realizes there's no salt, so then he could ask for the salt. Or he asks for, this is an important one, the Gemara there says that you have to feed your animals before you feed yourself, based on a pasuk. So let's say he realizes he didn't feed his animals yet. So you're violating the Isra. So you can interrupt in order to tell someone to go feed the animals before we eat from the bread. So even though those are interruptions, still you're being mahar, you're thinking about the bracha of hamotzi. So even though you're saying words, as long as your focus is still on the mitzvah at hand, it's not considered an interruption. So too, when it comes to tefillah, if your focus is on the Shmona Esrei, it's not considered a hefsek at all, because lo hisiach daito. That's the Pnei Yeshua's understanding. We know even when you say the bracha of hamotzi and you didn't even take a bite yet, let's say.
Then you're able to still talk.
I think for the interruption for getting something for the salt, let's say, or.
If they made the bracha for hamotzi, because the washing and the.
Correct. That's right. Okay, so now halach ma'isa, how do we paskin? Why do we paskin with regards to interruptions? We have two different basic approaches. Either the Sar Mikutzi, who distinguishes between why you interrupted, was it because halacha says you can't daven because there is meraglaim, or because you voluntarily decided not to daven, it was shaha, and in which case you don't have to start all over again. Or we have the other opinion of the Ramban and others, that it depends not why you stopped, but it depends on what you're stopping from. Is it tefillah versus all other mitzvahs? Those are the two distinctions. So if you look at the Mechaber, any Sfardim here? No Sfardim here. So Sfardim, okay, davening, okay, fine. So the Mechaber writes in number 11. Number 11, Hilchas Kriyashma. He says, Kara Serugin. If you're reading Shema Serugin, what is Serugin? Dainu Shehizchil Likros V'Hifsik. You say a little bit, and then you pause. You say a little bit, then you pause. You're going back and forth. Bein Mishtika, Bein Bedibur, whether you take a pause in silence, whether you take a pause in speech, Choser V'Gamra, you could go back and finish it. And Afilu Shaha Kedei Ligmor Skula, even if you waited for 45 minutes and you got back to Shema later on, still you're able to go back to the beginning, Yatza Afilu Haya Hefzik Machmas Onus. Even if you weren't able to say Shema because of an onus, because there was Merik Lime there or something, still you could always go back to the beginning. So what's the Mechaber's Psak? Who does he Paskin like? Anyone know? He paskins like, he says that Shema, you're able to start all over again. No matter why you've interrupted, you could start all over again. But he says with regards to tefillah elsewhere, he says with regards to tefillah that if you have an interruption, then you have to start all over again. He makes a distinction of the Ramban and the Rif, that tefillah is unique. That you never, for any mitzvah other than tefillah, you never have to go back to the beginning. Shmoneh Esrei is the only one, if there's a long period of time, a long break, that's the only one where you have to press the reset button. But Shema, Hallel, Megillah, no matter how long you take a break, from Mechaber Paskins, you can always go back to wherever you are. That's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Rama argues, and Rama says, no, it doesn't make a difference of what mitzvah you're doing. Rama writes in number 11, V'yeshomim, Dim Haya Anus, if it was Anus, it was against his will, V'hifsik, Kedei Ligmor Skula, Choser LaRosh. She says, no, it depends on why you've stopped. If, let's say, there was Merak Laim, or you were Mavos Mutunafos, you were in places that there was dirty, it was a dirty alleyway, so then the Rama says, then you would have to start all over again, even if it's not only Shmoneh Esrei, even if it's Shema, or Hallel, or Megillah, you would have to start all over again. So this is the understanding of the Rama. Okay, so Rama says, he passes like who? Anyone remember who this is like? Rama says, there's a distinction of the Sar Mikutzi. This is Sar Mikutzi, who distinguished between why you stopped. So again, if halacha says you can't daven anymore, so then you have to start all over again. If it's a voluntary pause, so then you can start all over again. But it doesn't make a difference whether it's tefillah, shema, shofar, halal, megillah. It all depends on why you are being interrupted. So this is very important for the shita of the Rama, for the Ashkenazim here. So again, any case, so let's say my example, I was davening shema, and I, on my own, decided to pause. I didn't have to pause. I wanted to wait for the tzibur to daven to the tzibur. I didn't have to. So I waited for a long period of time for them to catch up. That would not be considered an interruption for Shema.
Is there any... Let's say it took 7 hours. You still don't have to go back.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't make a difference. How long?
Only Shmoneh Esrei.
According to the Rama, it's not only Shmoneh Esrei. Rama is why you stopped. I mean, even Shmoneh Esrei... If the halacha says if there is merig lime there, suddenly you're saying Shema, and then someone goes to the bathroom on the floor and you can't say it anymore, you've lost your Shema and you have to start all over again. Okay. Now, so the question becomes within the Rama. Yeah.
So it doesn't make a difference what you were doing.
Correct.
Going back to your conversation with the.
So that's the next step. So all the Ramah tells us is that if you were stopped because of an Isser, then you have to start all over again.
As opposed to voluntary.
Exactly. So now what about other mitzvahs? He's only talking about Shema here. So similarly, the logic would say that would apply to Hallel and Megillah and Shofar as well. But look what the Darchei Moshe writes to your point, number 12. He says, number 12, on the Halacha Simon Tav Chaf Beis, nearly, Dilagavi Kriyashma Shehim Deraisa, so then Pasuk Kedivei Arash, the Tzarech Lach Sur LaRosh Kimoshin is Bar B'Simon Samech Hei. Only with regards to Shema, which is Deraisa, if there was a certain onus, if there's, let's say Meir Glayim, only then does Ramah Paskin, you have to start all over again. Aval Lagave Halel Umagila Dehei Midirabanan Pasuk Kedivei Arif Dein Tzarech Lach Sur LaRosh. So he has a pshar, he has a compromise here. So he says, we only paskin with regards to mitzvahs deraisas, you have to start all over again if you were forced to stop. But mitzvahs derabanan, even if you were forced to stop, you could continue from the place where you were pasak. You don't have to go to the beginning. That's the distinction of the Ramah.
So Berkas Hamazon, you'd have to go back to...
Ah, very good. Benching, which is deraisa, so pashas would be that you would have to start all over again if you were forced to stop by Meir Glayim of some sort. Exactly. Their eyes says you would have to. Their abundance you would not have to.
But for the whole thing was the bracha, the interruption, like Birchas Hamazon. It's the different brachas.
Yes, I believe, just like Shemoneh Esrei, we say Chol Zeh LaRosh, even though there are 18/19 different brachas, we start all to the beginning. I imagine, I don't remember seeing this inside, I imagine benching would be the same thing as well. Imagine. So with regards to benching, that's a good point. So I believe the Be'er Lacha says that explicitly as well, what David just said, that benching, since benching is deraisa, you would have to start all over again. Now let's just finish off with an interesting, the Bach argues, but we'll ignore the Bach, let's just finish off with this last piece, the She'iltos. The She'iltos was, anyone know who wrote the She'iltos? What? Now the Siv. Nitziv wrote the, right. The She'iltos, the centerpiece, the last piece, page number 4, the She'iltos is the center. Anyone know who wrote the She'iltos? Rav Achai Gon, one of the Gaonim, he wrote this Sefer Shiltos. I believe he wrote this, if I remember correctly, I hope I'm not confusing with someone else, but I'm pretty sure it was him, that he was trying to engage his son in learning. His son wasn't so into learning, which oftentimes happens, certainly a child of a rabbi. So he was trying to engage his son in learning, so he tried to take sugyas from Shas and put them Seder Parshios. Parshios, everyone loves Parsha, it's so much fun. So he put a whole Seder together, building sugyas connected to the Parsha. So that's what the Shiltas was. There's a book like that. There's a book like that, a lot of books like that. Right, and you see a lot of Sfarim on that like that. So the Shiltas writes, now the what Josh said, the Nitziv is the one who wrote the Perushim on the side. The Nitziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda, Mi Berlin, he wrote the Hamik Shela. He wrote the Hamik Davar, which is his parish on Torah. And he wrote the Hamik Shela, which is his parish on Shiltos. He also wrote a Hamik Nitziv. Rather, I think it's called Hamik Nitziv. It's on the Sifrei, his parish on the Medrash. And he has a Sefer also on Shir Shirim and other Svarim as well. So, the Shiltos write something interesting. The Shiltos seems to point out that Megillah is unique. He's talking about the Halachas of Purim. If you look in the middle of the Shiltos here, it's around 7 lines up. It says, towards the end of the line, Man de kakari es ha-Megillah. The person's reading Megillah, v'sha'ba, and he takes a pause in the middle of Megillah. Im sha kishir mikre mireish la-seifa. If he takes a pause that's long enough, let's say 30 minutes, he waits 30 minutes, which is the time around it takes to say the Megillah, so then, lo yata, you're not yotze. So, it's why is he singling out Megillah? Why is Megillah unique? It doesn't make any sense. Because we said, either depends on why you've stopped, if it was an onus versus not an onus, or we said it's tefillah versus everything else. So right, if you pass, let's say like the Ramban, that Shemoneh Esrei is unique, so then Megillah wouldn't be subject to these halachas. Only Shemoneh Esrei is subject to Imshak de Ligmor Skulot, you have to start all over again. But Ramban said every other mitzvah, you wouldn't have to start all over again. And if you hold like the Sar Mikutzei, it depends on why you stopped. Well, only an interruption that was onus, that was against your will, do you have to press the reset button. But the guy decided to stop on his own, so the Sar Mikutzei says that you don't have to start all over again. So what does he mean that Megillah, you have to start all over again? That's the question. So the Hamak Nitziv and Os Yudalit is addressing this question. And he says the following idea. He says that Megillas Esther is unique. Anyone see the Hamak Shela, what his explanation is, why Megillas Esther is unique?
He said it was pursuing Esau. Right. You know, Megillas pursuing Esau, so you have to read the whole story kind of straight. If you have a break or if you go out of order, so you don't show that pursuing Esau.
Right, so it's a beautiful idea. We're learning Mesechta Megillah. I know we've been learning this for a while now. But he says Megillas Esther, like Josh said, is unique, which no other Rishon said. This is a chiddush of the Netziv's understanding of the Shiltos. That Megillas Esther, just like we said Shemoneh Esrei was unique, Ramban says Shemoneh Esrei is unique because you can't make any interruptions if the king comes, you can't stop to say hello to the king. Megillas Esther is unique in its own right because, as Josh said, it's a Pirsuma Nisa. And because of Pirsuma Nisa, so we have certain halachas. And Pirsuma Nisa, Megillas Esther, isn't halal also Pirsuma Nisa? Why, when do we say halal? We say halal whenever there's a nes. We say halal every single day of Hanukkah. We say halal every single day of Sukkot. We say halal every day of Pesach. Well, not always a full halal. Halal is always very much connected, or almost always connected to Nisim. So how come by halal, if you make an interruption, we say, don't worry about it, just continue to the place where you were beforehand. But Megillas Esther, we say, you have to press the reset button. They're both about Pirsum and Nisa. So what the Netziv says so beautifully is that if you look at like 10 lines up in the bottom left column, Mehalel hu dekamakshe delo bainen shis bonen betem hanes. When you say halal, we don't think about the actual nes that we're singing about. Vafilu beserugin, even if you say halal and pause, say a pasuk and pause, you're very, very choppy. Have persumenis alanes. You fulfilled your requirement of publicizing the miracle by saying halal. Halal could be as interrupted as you want, it could be as choppy as you want. Aval Megillah, ein hanes nikba. Bidaito ad shikrenu bipamachas, or I think pamachas, v'yisbonein al chelke hasipor. The only way Megillas Esther becomes a fulfillment of Pirsum Nisa is if you read it in order, the order of the story, you experience the story, you read the story, and you understand the story, where it becomes embedded in your memory, v'yisbonein al chelke hasipor, until you understand it. So if you're saying Megillah, and you take a 45-minute break in between, so that's an interruption in Megillas Esther, that's going to lose the flow. You're going to lose the storyline, and you're going to miss out on the Pirsum Nisa. And so it's for that reason that, even though none of the other Rishonim made such a suggestion, the Shiltos is Mechadesh. When it comes to Megillas Esther, this too, if you make an interruption long enough, you would have to restart again, because you're missing the idea of Pirsum Nisa. Okay, so we'll stop here. And then the next week, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to continue on to another.